So, Luke chapter 2, one more time. Maybe we can just do Luke chapter 2 all year long and just see what we can get out of here. But Luke chapter 2, want to look tonight, it's Simeon and Anna. These two folks that were here, that were there when Jesus came for his circumcision for that time. But just some qualities. I was sitting there this week just looking at them, just hearing all these things coming out of these words on the page to my heart, just to see if these attributes, these qualities, these things were in my heart. So just thought I'd share them out tonight. But in Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 25, and it says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let us thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher, and she was of great age, and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about fourscore and four years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in at that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that look for redemption in Jerusalem." So here we have these two folks that come in, both loving the Lord, loving the things of the Lord, and both just happen to be at the right place at the right time. And it just seems like all through chapter 2, as we've gone through the last few teachings, we've just been in a place where we've seen God's orchestration of just moving on people's hearts, just ministering to people, to bring them into the right place at the right time, to have the right things, to see the right things, and to know the right things. And boy, such a place to be for us to be led by the Spirit and not by the things of the flesh. Because in the flesh, we don't see the things of God. It's only by those spiritual things that we see His Spirit. And so just to have that heart and just to be in that place of just walking in truth and just hearing the things of truth just come about, and it just brings so much to us. It says in verse 25 that this man whose name is Simeon, and by the way, his name means hearkening, which for us is probably that first thing, is are we listening to what God wants to say to us? Are we in that place? And I've got 12 things with Simeon here, 12 qualities that I wrote down that the Lord really wanted me to hear. Am I listening? Am I hearing what God wants to say? Am I listening to what God speaks to me? And it says, "And the same man was just and devout." So here we are with the next two things, just and devout. Not just doing the right things, but devoted to it. A heart of devotion. Just a place where he was doing what was just and right in the eyes of the Lord, and he was devout about it. He was devoted to the things of the Lord, and he was waiting. he was waiting for the consolation or the comfort of Israel. And as you look at that, and that's what God's heart is going to do as he speaks to us, is that we're going to want to see comfort. But not just for ourselves. He was looking for the comfort of Israel. He wasn't just looking for the comfort of himself. He was looking for the comfort of Israel, for Israel. His eyes were others focused and not self-focused. But he was in that place and he was waiting. And I don't know about you guys, but waiting is not one of my strong points. But it seems like the Lord always ministers in that place where he has us wait on him so that we can see him work at his perfect time in his perfect way. And just to see the things that he has for us as we wait. And not just to wait, but to wait expectantly. He was waiting, but not grumbling about it, not moaning in the background. Lord, don't you know I'm waiting for you? He was waiting with a heart after the things of the Lord. Still busy about the things of the Lord. Still busy about the business that God had given him. But doing it in waiting for comfort for the people of Israel. Those that were saved, those that weren't saved. He was waiting for comfort for them. Oh, and just thinking about that, especially going through the thing with our grandson and just seeing all the kids, they're 30-year-olds, that were around and a lot of them coming into the calling hours tonight, just seeing their hearts and just realizing the brokenness that's coming into their lives at such a young age. But just to wonder, Lord, how are you going to comfort them? What do you want to say to their hearts? And Lord, help us to be faithful to speak to them about the comfort that you have, the hope that you have, so that at least they can sit there and know there's a place to go where there's going to be comfort. But here's Simeon, the one that's listening, the one that's hearkening to the things of the Lord, waiting just to see Israel comforted. And doesn't it break your heart to see where America is? Just wanting for America to be comforted, wanting America to go back to the roots of where we started, in the Word, by the Word, for the Word. You know, how wonderful that would be to see a revival happen, but not just a revival for the country, but a personal revival, too, in our own hearts. Because sometimes when we get tired of waiting, we don't do well in being just and devoted. We kind of lose that off. We stop reading the Word. We stop going to church. We stop praying. But it seems like Simeon was in a place where that was a constant thing in his life, because that's what God had given him. And so he's just and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. So there's that place where we want to get to, where the Holy Spirit not only works in us, but comes upon us. It says this in Luke chapter 1, verse 6, talking about Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth. And it says, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord blameless. And when the Holy Spirit is upon us, that's what he's going to bring us to, that we're going to wait on him, that we're going to desire to see him, that we're going to walk in all the commandments, not because we have to, but because we get to. And notice it's an active verb. It's not just one that's past tense, it's active, walking. They were doing it. Even though they were older, they were doing it. They were walking in the commandments. They were doing those things. They were just after the things of the Lord. And yet here at the same time are these folks, are Simeon and Anna. So we know God has a remnant, and that remnant is working. That remnant is faithful. And it's just so sweet to see that there's not just one person in Israel that's following after the things of the Lord, Jesus, but there's others. There's others that are there that are walking after the commandments, that are walking in the truth, that are just seeking those things. And how encouraging is that to know that you're not alone, that there's more there with you, that have the same heart, that have the same mind. And it says in verse 26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's upon him. It was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see three times just in these few short verses that everything he did, everything he had was brought to him by the Holy Spirit. And he listened to the Holy Spirit. So important for us to be in that place. And so it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost, so by the word that was coming, by the Holy Spirit, God himself, that he told him that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, that he wasn't going to die. Amazing. You're not going to die till you see Christ. Oh, an amazing thing, an amazing revelation. Can you imagine just getting that and yet day after day wondering, is the Christ come yet? Year after year, how long had it been since the Lord told him, and yet still faithful, waiting to see the Lord's Christ? Oh, you're not going to see death. So he's gotten revelation from the Lord. And for me, you know, in you, we should be sitting here every time we get into the Word that we would want revelation from the Lord. Lord, we want you to reveal who you are in the Word to us, Lord, to our hearts. We just don't want to go through chapter after chapter just so we can mark off our daily reading thing. We want to go through it because we want to see you in the midst of it. I want revelation from you, Lord, for my own heart, for my own life, of the things that are there. It's interesting. When my daughter called me to tell me about our grandson last Sunday, I just happened to be in John chapter 14. I go to prepare a place for you. And I wonder, why am I going there? Because I'm teaching out of Genesis. I need to be in Genesis. I'm preparing for Sunday morning. And yet here I am in John, and I get the phone call from her. Now I know. That's why you had me there, Lord. Oh, and I love those quick answers. It's the ones that go by, and I just go, okay, what was that all about? And I still don't have an answer. But just so sweet to see and just so sweet to have. Lord, am I getting revelation from you? Are you speaking to my heart? And I'm not talking about big, heavy revies that we talked about in the 60s. Looking more for just these small little things. I love you. I want you to walk with me today. Just those sweet little things that aren't huge in our life, but they're huge enough for God to speak to us. And so they're important. And for us to be looking and just desiring to see those things. So just wanting to get revelation out of the Word and to have what the Lord has for us. And then he says in verse 27, and he came again by the Spirit, third time in just these few verses. He talks about having the Holy Spirit. He came by the Spirit to the temple. If the Spirit hadn't worked in his life, if he wasn't looking and listening for the Holy Spirit to speak to him, he wouldn't have come to the temple. Oh, can you imagine how awful that would be? I miss Jesus. Oh, and yet he listened, and because he listened, he came to the temple just at the right time. I love how the Lord works in just bringing all these things together for our lives and for our hearts just to speak to us. And he did this for Simeon. And what do you think he can do for you and I if we listen, if we hearken, if we're faithful, if we walk in truth, that we can have that place where he would just not only bring revelation to us, but help us to be faithful in it. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. So he's the high priest, he's the one that performs these things, but the Lord puts all those things together just at the right time, the right day, the right temple. They just happened to be in town. Oh, and then verse 28. So we see that his faithfulness in verse 27, verse 28. We see him embrace him. He says, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God. He took him up. He embraced the Lord to himself. And boy, for me, that's one thing that I really want to have more and more and more is, Lord, I want to embrace your word. I want to embrace you in the word. I want to embrace you so much that I get you that close to my heart so that I can see these things, so I can understand these things for myself. Lord, I just don't want to see you. I want to embrace you. I want to embrace your words. I want to embrace your words so that they come not only into my heart, but then they become action for my life. So he picked him up. He embraced him. He knew right away, this is the child. I wonder, did God tell him? that it was going to be a baby? It doesn't say. But he knew right away that it was him. Oh, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God. He embraced him and he blessed God. He thanked God for him. And it seems like the more we embrace God, the more thankful that we're going to be. Embracing the things of the Lord and then bringing those things to pass and blessing God in the midst. He took him up in his arms and he blessed God and said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. Don't you wonder? You don't want to stick around a little bit longer and see what happens? He said, now I can go home. He was waiting for home. The Lord had told him, you're not going to die until you see the Lord's Christ. And the first thing he does after he embraces him and says, okay, Lord, I'm ready to come home. Amazing. I don't need to see anymore. I've seen everything I need to see. I'm ready to come home. I'm waiting to come home. And so often in our lives, we come to a place of, well, Lord, I really want heaven. I really want to get raptured, but I want to see my kids get married. I want grandchildren. I want this. I want that. I want to be successful. Instead of just saying, Lord, I've seen everything I need to see. If you're telling me it's time to come home, I want to come home. Oh, and I don't know about you, but since COVID hit, I think the church is more and more ready for the rapture to happen than it's ever been ready before. It seems like we go through cycles almost where we're expecting the Lord to come, where we're really desiring the Lord to come and to really minister to us and to take us up and to take us home. And yet here he is, doesn't need to see anymore. He has perfect peace with God. He has, because he says, let your servant depart in peace. And what's the peace that he has? Jesus is there. He is perfect peace. He said, I have perfect peace now. Let me depart according to your word. Look at what he says. It's according to your word, Lord. Not to my thoughts, not to my emotions, not to how I feel. Not because I want to get raptured because I'm in trouble with the law and I don't want to go to jail. I just want to depart in peace according to your word because you said so. Oh. And that's a heart that's just seeking after the things of the Lord and not seeking after the things of the flesh. And the word tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things will be added to us. And Lord, what can you add to us except more of you? If we have you, what more can you give us but more of you? Because you're everything. You're everything that we need. You're our peace. You're our hope. You're our joy. You're our strength. There's nothing else that we need to have but you. So he embraces him. He blesses him. He says, let me depart in peace now because I have you, Lord. And it's interesting because sometimes in the church we think that we need peace with God. We need to make our peace with God. And we hear that a lot from folks who aren't maybe on the borderline with walking with the Lord and not really knowing the Lord well. They say, well, I can't do anything until I make my peace with God. But isn't it interesting that Scripture talks about having peace with God as well as having the peace of God? And there's one thing with making peace with God, and that's what Jesus did for us. He made peace with God for us, but we can have the peace of God. The same peace that Jesus has, we can have. The peace that can go through horrible circumstances as he went through and yet still have perfect peace. To go through times of trial, times of joy, times of strengthening, times of weakening, and yet still have perfect peace in the midst of it all. Not being led by emotion, but being led by the peace of God. And just, oh Lord, another one of the qualities that this man has that we just want to see in our own lives, in our own hearts. And so then down in verse 34, just to skip down for time's sake here, it says, and Simeon blessed them and said unto his mother Mary, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel and for a sign which shall be spoken against. So really he comes to that place, he's marveling. And he's marveled by who this is, but he's not so marveled and taken back and so surprised by it that he can't give out comfort by the Spirit to Mary and Joseph that are there. He can still give out to others. He isn't so self-focused that he says, okay, I'm done, and just puts Jesus down and walks out of the temple. As long as he's still there, he's still faithful in ministering, and he's bringing comfort to her. And not even that, but then in verse 35, he's going to prophesy. But that can't come by our own strength, by what we are. It comes by the Spirit of God. And that's why it's so important that we see all the way through this in the first few verses. We saw three times he had the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit was upon him. And it gave him understanding. It gave him revelation. And it also gave him a word of knowledge about what was coming in the future. But notice he gives the comfort first, and then he gives the prophecy that your own heart is going to be broken, Mary. And we see that it was not many years later. So it came to pass what he had prophesied, because it was from God, and it was of God, and it was for Mary and Joseph to see and to hear and to understand. And not only for them to understand, but can you imagine how many people were in the temple when all this was going on that heard all of this? Oh, I wonder how many people knew that the Lord had told Simeon that he wasn't going to die before he saw the Lord's Christ. And to see that come to pass and to hear him still bring comfort. What an example for those that were there. What an example to a religious system that wasn't really acting religious. They were just acting like a system. There was no Holy Spirit in it. It was all secular. It was all about your own works, getting your own way into heaven, rather than what God was doing. And it was so different. Here he is working in that system, but doing it by the power of God for the people of God. Because remember, he was waiting for the consolation of all of Israel. So he was in a bad religious system, but he was speaking truth, and he was ministering truth in the midst of it, and had such a different outlook than the rest of the people did. Remember when some of the other high priests would come to Jesus? Nicodemus, as he comes to Jesus, he comes in the night so that nobody can see him coming, because he knows something's wrong with his religion. He doesn't have a relationship, he has a religion. And he comes to him at night because he didn't want anybody else to see him. He's one of the heads in the Sanhedrin, the ruling body of priests over all of Israel. And yet he comes at night, and Jesus looks at him and says, you must be born again. He doesn't say, you're doing good, Nicodemus. You're almost there. He says, Nicodemus, you're the head of this religious system, and you don't even know who I am. You need to be born again. And yet here's Simeon in the same religious system, and yet he has such a relationship with the Lord that he knows that Jesus is coming, that the Christ is coming. And he's just waiting for him. And he's being faithful in the midst and just expectant. The rest of Israel isn't. They know the same prophecies he knows. They knew. Remember when the wise men came? Herod calls for the priests. And he says, where is he supposed to be born and when's he coming? Well, he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. They all knew where all those prophecies were supposed to take place and what was supposed to be happening, but none of them went there to see the Christ that was born. The wise men did, but the religious people didn't go. The shepherds, who were outcasts, got an invitation. They went, but the religious system didn't go. And yet in the midst of it, this is the system that Simeon is working in, and yet he has a joy and a peace that is so much different from the rest of the priesthood. And that is just so wonderful. And we live in a world where we can be so different. We can live in the same world as they do, obey the same laws that they do the same things that they do, but we can have a joy and a peace that goes so far beyond what they have, that they should be looking at and seeing something's different here. Mine's out of whack, and yet look at what's going on with them. Oh, and that is just so wonderful. This is such a great picture for me just to look at and see, Lord, do I have any of these attributes? Am I looking that way? Am I seeking you in the midst of it like he was? Am I waiting for you every day just like he did every year, or if I kind of just let it slide by and now I'm not so excited about your coming as I used to be. Am I looking today as much as the first day that I got saved? Or has it now just become old hat and it's not so exciting anymore? And if you come, you come. And if you don't, you don't. Or am I expecting you to come? Oh, what a difference in heart. And we don't want to become like a religious system. We want that relationship to grow and grow. And then we come to Anna. It says, and there was one Anna, a prophetess. And so here's this lady. She's just in a place. Her name means grace. It's amazing how the Lord uses these names sometimes. And there was one Anna, there was one Grace, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, or the face of God, of the tribe of Asher, which means blessed. And she was of a great age. It means she was old. Holy Spirit, so sweet and just making things easier for her. She was old. She had lived with her husband 7 years, and she was a widow for fourscore and 4 years. Phew, she's older than us. She was old, but she was still serving. She didn't hit retirement and say, well, time to get out of Dodge. I don't have to do this anymore. I'll just go veg on a couch somewhere and sit in an assisted living place somewhere and just not do anything. She kept coming and kept serving. She was able to. The Lord had given her grace to still be able to. She was old, but she was still giving out and not just checking out. She was giving out of what God had given her. And isn't that what we do? We give out from what God has given us. Because you can't contain what God gives you. It needs to come out. You don't want to be like the Dead Sea where everything goes in and then just sits there and dies. It's got to come in and then go out to be fresh, to be pure, to have life. That's why they call it the Dead Sea, because it's dead. The water comes in, nothing goes out except by evaporation. There's no outflow. There's no outlet. We need that coming in and then going out. That's the natural way that God has made for us and God made to us. And here's this lady. It didn't matter her age. She just wanted to be faithful. As long as I'm still alive, I want to be faithful, Lord. And so she kept giving out. Oh. And doesn't the world expect us once you hit a certain age? Well, you just kind of go off in the corner somewhere and we'll talk to you sometime. Isn't that sad? Because some of the old saints have so much to give. And yet we want to put them on a shelf because they got gray hair or they use a cane or a walker. And we just want to put them on a shelf. And God says, no, I still have work for my older saints as well as the younger saints. So in verse 37, it says, and she was a widow of about 84 years and departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Can you imagine? Boy, it's about 8 o'clock and my eyes start. This night stuff just doesn't make it anymore. But there she is, night and day, serving. And notice, she was serving God. And there's a difference between serving yourself, serving others, and serving God. Serving God includes serving others and serving yourself and getting all those things taken care of. But a lot of folks just serve themselves and never serve God. And a lot may serve others, but in doing so, they're serving themselves. But what a difference when you serve God and then give out from there and serve others in the midst of it. There's a difference in that serving. There's a difference in the fruit that comes from it. And there's a difference in the relationship that happens. That's why the Lord says in Colossians, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. And she was doing that. She was serving him, but in serving him, she was serving others. And that's such a sweet thing to have happen because that outflow bears much more fruit than us just trying to do it in our own flesh. And there's a lot of do-gooders out there that are doing a lot of good, but they're doing it for the wrong reasons and they're doing it for the wrong way, and the fruit is never going to last. They may be bearing fruit, it may be helping people, but you know what? If it's not getting them to Jesus and getting them saved, then what good really is it have in doing all of that for yourself, because it's just not going to last. There's even Christian, so-called Christian organizations that now don't speak the gospel because they're afraid of offending people. And so they just give out blankets and give out food without ever telling anybody about Jesus in the midst of it. Be careful who you're giving to. Check their line of faith. Check who they are and check what they're saying. For years we gave to an organization that was doing that, and then all of a sudden we heard that they weren't giving out the gospel anymore, that they had stopped. And it was just, oh. And the Lord says, what are you going to do with that? Well, I don't know. We've been giving to them for years, so we should probably just continue. Just because you've been doing it doesn't mean you have to keep going. Now you know the truth. What are you going to do with it? Oh, and that's a challenge for our hearts, because you want to help people. But if you're not helping them to Jesus, is it really a help? And that's so sad, because there's so many groups that are giving out and giving things to people and helping people. And the drives in the wintertime for the coats for people is wonderful. And it's all of that that's so good. But if we're not giving them Jesus, we're not giving them an eternity. We're just giving them one more day in pain. Lord, help us to have a future with it and not just a day thing where we can feel good because we did something. She's not there for herself. She's there because the Lord has drawn her. She wants to be faithful to the Lord. She served God. She didn't serve the men in the temple. She didn't serve the people in the temple. She served God, and by serving God, she served all the people that were in the temple. What a difference that is. She served God with fastings and prayers night and day. So here she is. She's faithful. She's older, but she's still giving out. She's serving. And she's still praying and worshiping, still wanting to know the God that was there, the God that loved her. Because fastings, we think of fasting and we think of denying ourselves and doing all of that. But really what we should be doing in a fast is just seeking the heart of God for his life for us. Lord, in this fast, I don't want to fast just so I can lose weight. If you're fasting just to lose weight, you're not really fasting for the Lord. You're just fasting because you want to look better. And at our age, we don't look good anyway, so it doesn't matter. That's why I don't. No, never mind. But in that place, you just look and see, Lord, the fast that I have, the fast that you've called me to, and it talks about God's chosen fast in Isaiah, is that we would have the heart of God. Not to seek him for anything, but just to see what God has for us. Lord, what is your heart for me right now? As I sit here and deny myself this food, as I sit here and deny myself this TV program, as I sit here and deny myself this place of what I usually do, I just want to sit before you, but I just want to hear what you have for me. And that's really the fast that we should be doing, not the fasting just for anything else, but just to seek him. Well, Lord, I'm going to fast and pray about this situation in my life. And that's not a bad thing. But I think the better thing is, Lord, I want to fast just so I can know your heart. Because if I know your heart, I know I can walk better in this life and do what's right all the time with it. And she's still fasting and praying. You think, at her age, really? Fasting? Wow, isn't that dangerous? It's dangerous for the wrong reasons, but for the right reasons, it's always good. Well, you've been doing it all your life. Do you really think you need to fast again? I want my Lord to speak to my heart, and I just want to sit before him and deny myself this so that I can hear him. She served him with fastings, and then she prayed night and day. She was still a prayer warrior. She was still one that was there. And she coming in at that instant, in verse 38, at that instant. What a coincidence that she just happens to come in at that time. What does she do? She gives thanks. She doesn't say, oh, a baby. She gives thanks. She realizes who this is. She's got a thankful heart. And Lord, give me a thankful heart in the midst of this. She gave thanks to the Lord. She didn't give thanks to to the people in the temple. She gave thanks to the Lord for getting her there to see this. Lord, thank you that you allowed me to see your son. Lord, thank you that you've blessed me. Thank you that you've given me life. Thank you that I can still walk. Thank you that I still am breathing on my own. Lord, thank you. I have so much to be thankful for. She gives thanks to the Lord and spoke of him, spoke of Jesus to all them that looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. She spoke of him to all, so her witness comes. The witness that the Lord had for her, as she sees these things, she starts witnessing of those things. And it really should encourage us in our witness. As we see the things of the Lord, as we realize how much he loves us, it should help our witness of him. And sometimes our witness is that silent witness of just who we are, just walking through this world. And other times we get to speak of the things that the Lord has given us, speak of the things that the Lord has done for us. So the witnessing comes. But here's these two folks, and boy, what a blessing. And, you know, we look and we think at this time of year, Lord, is there anything new? Everybody knows about Christmas, but not everybody knows the God of Christmas. Not everybody knows who this Jesus is. They've heard the name, but do they know that Jesus? But for me, just writing down these different attributes of these people, just really convicting at times, because sometimes I have them, sometimes I let them go. It just really spoke to my heart this week, I think, of Lord, I want to be faithful, and I want these things in my life, because these people had such a rich life. They might not have money, but Lord, they had a relationship with you that's well beyond where I am. And Lord, the more I see you, the more I want you. And the older I get in him, the more I just want more of him. And boy, it should be an encouragement for us all. Lord, do I have those attributes? Do I have those things in my life that you have put in these people's lives that we know that they're not anything special? They're just people who loved you and who walked with you and who wanted you. Lord, what is it in my life that I don't have these? Is it because I don't want you? Is it because I don't want to have to go through it to get there? That I don't want to take the time? I just want instant potatoes? By the way, instant potatoes stink. Just thought I'd tell you. Those baked potatoes, man, you just sit there and devour those things. Those are good. You get those potatoes in the box, they're just flakes of stuff. It's like snow. Lord, help me to have the real thing. I don't need to make it instant. I want it to be however long it takes for you to work it into my life, but help me to keep looking to you for it, Lord. So, Father, we're just so thankful. As you bring us these things, as you show us these things, that we just rejoice that you care that much about us, that you would write all these things down, not just to proclaim the greatness of Simeon and Anna, but just to show us where our hearts are, where our lives are, where our desires are. And Father, if there's changes that need to be made, then Lord, help us to have those changes. And we know that one of the biggest things for these two folks was that they were led by the Spirit. Your Holy Spirit was upon them, that you ministered to them and then through them. And so, Lord, may you fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us afresh at this time, Lord, and make us those people that would just bring out those gifts that you've given us and use them for your glory, Lord. Just thank you. We just ask that you'd just be with us, that you'd speak to our hearts, Lord, as we go from here, and just continue to speak, Lord, as we seek your heart, as we seek your ways. And we just will give you thanks for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.